appreciate that venerable prayer and ask that we continue to pray as I stand before you. One of the most difficult things for me in the ministry is know what to preach and when to preach it, a particular subject. And the only thing I've ever known how to do is simply pray and seek the Lord and trust in the leadership of His Holy Spirit to direct. And as we read this passage, Lord being our helper in Acts chapter 3, there's just one phrase out of this passage that came very strong to my mind yesterday. Out of the blue, if I may put it that way. So I hope and trust this is of the Lord. Please continue to pray. In Acts chapter 3, it says, "Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour." That would be 3 o'clock our time. And we see their great habit and their great method of being in prayer every day. The Bible tells us, beginning in the Old Testament, we see in the Psalms, I believe it was chapter 55, in verse 17, a Psalm of David, he said, "Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice." We see David saying, in the evening and in the morning and at noon, I cry unto the Lord, and he hears my voice. We see this pattern of prayer, and David saying, I pray 3 times a day. We look in the book of Daniel, and we'll see where a decree had been signed by the king. And Daniel, the king had signed a decree saying that you couldn't give a petition or pray to any god or any man for a period of time. And after Daniel knew the decree had been signed, he still gets on his knees 3 times a day and opens his windows toward Jerusalem. And he prays. So the Jews had a habit of praying in the morning and at noon and in the evening. And what a blessing we have to go to the Lord in prayer numerous times a day. I don't think there's an exact pattern for our prayer, but I think it's a good idea when we get up in the morning to begin with prayer. I think it's a good idea about the middle of the day to be in prayer to the Lord, and toward later in the afternoon or before we go to bed at night, be again in prayer to the Lord. We can't pray too much. The Apostle Paul would say, pray without ceasing. So you see Peter and John going to the temple, and it's the hour of prayer. It's 3 o'clock p.m. our time. They were people of prayer. Said, "And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked at alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, Look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them." You look later in the next chapter, in Acts chapter 4, you'll see that this particular man was over 40 years old, it tells us in verse 22 of Acts 4. He had been laying at this gate for many, many years. Lame from his mother's womb, not able to walk. Can you imagine? He didn't want to be laid at that gate. He didn't want to be asking for alms every day. But that was his condition. And Peter and John find him there. And he's looking upon them, expecting to receive something monetary from them, because that's what he needed to live. But I'm going to tell you, there's something he needed more than silver and gold. And we're fixing to see that happen. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that's called Solomon, greatly wondering. And some of these people were looking on Peter and John as if they had of their own power made him to walk. And Peter's very careful to give all power and all honor and all glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he plainly tells them, it's of the Lord Jesus and of his power that's made this man to walk. The verse that's on my mind, or the little phrase that so powerfully came upon my mind yesterday, was when Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee." You see, this man was looking for silver and gold from Peter and John. But what he really needed was healing. The Lord Jesus had blessed his disciples. If you look in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 1, you'll see where the Lord Jesus had called unto him and his 12 disciples, and he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of disease, a manner of sickness and all manner of disease. He had blessed his disciples through the power of the Lord, not their power, but he had blessed them with the ability to heal. And I believe the Lord is still in the healing business today. And I don't think he still blesses men to be faith healers as we saw the disciples. But I'll tell you, in my life, I've seen the Lord answer many prayers of healing. And what a blessing that is. But he had blessed his disciples with these gifts of healing by his power. And Peter says, "I don't have silver and gold, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And this man that had been laid at that gate, over 40 years old, and never able to take the first step. You know, when I was a little boy, Mama and Daddy got worried about me because I was past the age where I was supposed to be able to walk, and I wasn't walking. And they got a little concerned, and they took me to a foot doctor, and the foot doctor looked at my feet and just started laughing. And they're like, "Why are you laughing?" He said, "I know why the boy can't walk. His feet are short and fat. He can't get any leverage to walk." So they gave me some very hard-toed shoes, very stiff, and literally the next day, I was walking. But before that, I'd never taken a step, and Mom and Daddy were getting worried. Can you imagine 40 years over 40 years old. He had been late at that gate every day, just trying to make it with what little he could get. Then Peter says, I don't have silver and gold, but such as I have, give I thee. Now, Peter had been given a special gift from the Lord of healing. Again, it's by the power of the Lord. But what Peter had, he got from the Lord. And I'm going to tell you, little child of God, whatever we got it from only one place. We got it from the Lord. He said, such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And Peter, in that sweet scene, takes him by the right hand and lifts him up, and his feet and his ankle bones receive strength, and he's immediately walking and leaping and praising God. And he goes into the temple to worship. Somebody may say, well, what? You would have thought maybe he'd have gone home to his family and said, look what happened. Now, his first order of business was to walk and leap and praise God for the great miracle that had been done with him. That was his first order of business. I want to worship the Lord who's done such great things for me. The Lord being our helper, I would like to look at some of the places in the Bible that I think illustrate this point. Such as I have, give I thee. And it begs a question for us. What is our such as I have? My such as I have is like yours in some ways, but it's different in some ways. Me and Brother John Mark were talking yesterday after this came on my mind. We were blessed to go down to Mount Kealia Church to their meeting with Brother Sam Duckworth, which we were so glad to have with us. And Brother Ken and Sister Brenda, Brother Ken and Sister Sandra were also down there worshiping. And as we were traveling, I began to think about what a blessing it is that our gifts in the ministry are not all the same. One of the things that's been said to me numerous times about Brother John Mark's gift is his preaching gift is very different than mine. And that's a blessing. Aren't you glad that all of our ministers don't have the exact same preaching gift? But my such as I have is different than his such as I have. It's different than Elder Ronald Lawrence's such as I have, or Elder Philip Connolly's such as I have. And that's a great blessing. And so it is in our lives. We have some things that our such as I have are the same. One of the things we all have, such as I have, that we can give to others is prayer. We were just talking about prayer and how important prayer is. And we sing a song, I need the prayers of those I love. How much do we need each other's prayers? And we all have the sweet ability from the Lord to be able to approach his sweet throne of grace to find grace to help in time of need at any moment of the day or of the night, and know, as David said in the psalm that I quoted, that he hears and answers our prayers, that we're able to go to the God of glory, the God that made heaven and earth, and pour out our petitions, not only for our own selves, but for our brethren and sisters in Christ, and know that the Lord answers prayers. We need the prayers of those we love. I'm reminded in Mark chapter 2 where the man was taken by his friends. He was sick of the palsy. He was so sick of the palsy, that word simply means paralyzed. He was so paralyzed, he was on a bed and unable to move. And he had four friends. The Bible tells us he was born of four. He was carried of four. And they didn't have the ability to take care of his paralysis. They didn't have that such as I have. But you know what such as I have they had? They had the ability to physically lift up their friend on his bed and get him to the feet of the Lord Jesus. And such as they had, they gave to their friend. And they wouldn't be deterred. They went to where Jesus was, and there was such a crowd around the Lord Jesus that no matter what pathway they tried to take, they couldn't get to him. So they go up to the roof, and they take the roof apart, and they actually lower their friend down to the very feet of the Lord Jesus Christ, who heals their friend. There's such as I have the strength and the ability and the time to spend for one of their friends to get them to the feet of the Lord Jesus. They get it. We don't have the ability to literally pick up our friends on a bed and literally get them to the literal feet of the Lord Jesus. But we do have the ability to lift up our friends in prayer. And take them to the feet of the Lord Jesus in prayer. Take them to the feet of his throne of grace to obtain mercy. As Hebrews tells us, and find grace to help in time of need. We can do that for one another. And we all have that such as I have of prayer to lift each other up before the Lord's sweet throne of grace. Wherever he has the ability and the strength of every single answer to every single problem that we may encounter in this life. The Lord is bigger than that. Such as I have. In Mark chapter 5, we see a man that's become known as the wild Gadarene. He was possessed with many devils. So many he was called legion. And his life was a pretty miserable existence. He dwelt among the tombs in the cemetery. He would cut himself with stones. And everybody was afraid of him. They tried to bind him with fetters, but he would break the chains and the fetters. He was driven away from those he loved. The Lord Jesus came to him and healed him and cast the devils out of him. And the scene we see at the beginning where he's out amongst the dead things and is cutting himself with stones and has a miserable existence and everybody's afraid of him. At the end of it, after the Lord Jesus cast those devils out of him, he's sitting at the feet of Jesus clothed and in his right mind. And he wants to leave with the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus is fixing to get on the boat. And he wanted to go with him. The Lord Jesus says, no, you go home. And you tell your friends what great things the Lord has done for you. And how he's had compassion upon you. He had a story to tell. He had a such as I have. This is what I used to do. But by the grace of God and by the healing power of Jesus Christ, this is what I am now. He's been so good to me. He totally and completely changed my life in every way. I was dwelling amongst the tombs. I was dwelling amongst the dead things. I was cutting myself with stones. I had a miserable existence every day. Till I met the Lord Jesus. And he cast those devils out of me, and my life has never been the same again. He had a story to tell. He had a such as I have that he could give unto others. You know, little child of grace, we do too. We can look at the stories of deliverance in the Bible, and they're precious stories. And we should hang on to those stories. One of the things we all have, or such as I have, is the truth of God's Word. What a blessing that in each one of our homes, we've got the only book in this entire universe that's true and complete, start to finish, that contains verily the very words of the God of heaven. What a treasure that is. And we all have that. And we should all be in it every single day, learning more and more and more about our great God and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We all have that. And we can rejoice in the stories in the Word of God. One of the such as I have, we have as parents, is the knowledge we have of the Lord and the Scriptures we should be giving to our children. We see that sweet thing where the Apostle Paul encourages the young preacher Timothy to continue in the things which he has learned and been assured of. He had a godly mother and a godly grandmother that taught him the Holy Scriptures, that laid out the stories of the Word of God to him, which were such a blessing to him. And the Apostle Paul tells this young preacher, you continue in that. You learn more and more and more about the Word of God. It'll be a blessing to you, Timothy, and it'll be a blessing to the Lord's people that you try to preach to. We as parents have a such as I have of knowledge of the Scriptures that we're blessed to convey to our children. The Bible tells us, bring up your children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Deuteronomy tells us to teach the Word of God diligently under our children when we walk by the way, when we get up in the morning, when we travel throughout the day. But what a blessing that is. What a sweet such as I have that we can give and share unto others. We all have a story to tell. We can see the Lord's deliverances in the lives of the characters in the Bible, of Moses and Joshua and Noah and so many others. We can think in our life, see how the Lord's delivered us. See how the Lord has lifted us up in times of great trial, in times of great tribulation. But he's been there for us and lifted us up and carried us through and delivered us. We have a story to tell, like the wild gathering. We got a story of what great things the Lord has done for us. We go to Luke chapter 10. And we see a place where a Samaritan man was willing to take his such as I have and give it unto a man that was put in his path. Verse 30 of Luke 10, it said, and Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. Who was? The man that needed help. The man who had been robbed. The man who had been beat up. The man who was half dead. He came to where he was and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host, and said unto him, Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I'll repay thee. Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? We see this person that was put right in the path of this Samaritan. And it was obvious he needed help. And that Samaritan looked. And he said, I have such as I have to be able to help. And he did help. He took of his time. He took of his financial resources. I don't know what all that Samaritan had on the agenda that day. But whatever it was, he put it aside. He said, here's a man that needs my help. Here's a man that's half dead. Here's a man that's wounded and been beat up. And I've got the ability to help him. I've got such as I have to help him. And he did. You know, sometimes the Lord can just put somebody right in our path. Right in our path. We know they need help. We know we have the ability to help. And the Lord can sometimes just open those doors and make it so plain as to what he wants us to do. And sometimes I've taken those opportunities to do the right thing. But sadly, there's been times when I've just been too busy with other things to take the such as I have help somebody in need that had been laid directly in my path. We see in Acts chapter 9, Saul of Tarsus had been changed on the road to Damascus, and this man who was public enemy number one of the church of the Lord Jesus, who was going about to persecute all the followers of the Lord Jesus Christ and to see them put in prison and even executed for following the Lord. The Lord struck him down on the road to Damascus, and in a moment, he's changed into somebody that's been fighting against the Lord. He's going to be one of the most faithful servants of the Lord Jesus Christ all the days of his life. But he's got a problem. Some of the Lord's people are scared of him. They know his reputation. They know the harm that he sought to do to followers of Christ. And in Acts chapter 9 and verse 26, it said, And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed or he tried to join himself to the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. Now let's put ourselves in Saul of Tarsus, the Apostle Paul's shoes for a moment. He's already made all the Jewish community mad that he was with. They're so mad at him, they're trying to kill him. And now he's come to be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's going to serve him with all that he has. And he wants to be with the people of God. But they're scared of him. We were blessed with a wonderful meeting last weekend, and we so greatly value our fellowship with our brethren and sisters in Christ. You know, this old world can beat us down, and just come into the house of God and seeing the smiles and the hearts and the embraces of my brothers and sisters can make all the difference in the world. Saul was desiring that, but they were scared of him. Imagine if we came in here this morning and we go to shake hands or embrace one of our brethren and sisters and the response is, ah! And they run the other way. And it happens again and again and again. Saul's in a difficult spot. People I used to be with are trying to kill me. And the people I want to be with, they're afraid of me. But you know, there was a man named Barnabas that's had a such as I have that he could give unto Saul of Tarsus. And he did. It says, but Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way and that the Lord had spoken to him and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. Barnabas says, I know the truth about this man, that he's now a faithful follower of the Lord, and he puts his arm, I believe, around Saul of Tarsus, and he goes and he explains to the apostles, he's not what he used to be. He loves the Lord and he loves you. Receive this man, embrace this man, fellowship this man. You know what the result was? Verse 28, and he was with them, coming in and going out of Jerusalem. The people that were afraid of him are now with him. And he's able to have that sweet and wondrous love and fellowship with the saints of God. What a blessing it is. Barnabas had a such as I have. And he gave it to the apostle. He said, I'll set the record straight. We go to John chapter 6 and verse 9. We see the Lord Jesus has been preaching and the people are very hungry. And the Lord Jesus has told his disciples, we don't need to send them away. That's what the disciples were saying. Send them away that they may go and buy food. And the Lord asked his disciples, and they said, we don't have enough. 200 penny worth of bread is not enough. I believe that was the amount that each one should have a little. We don't have enough. Send them away. Jesus said, you give them something to eat. And they looked around all that multitude of 5,000 men, not counting women and children. And there's one little boy there with 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. And God's going to take that. The Lord Jesus is going to take that little boy's such as I have. And he's going to feed the whole multitude with it. This little boy could have not given his lunch or even showed his lunch for numerous reasons. You know, this lunch of 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, barley loaves was poor man's bread. And this little boy could have been ashamed of his lunch. He could have thought to himself, this is not the caliber of food that some of these people are used to be eating. I'm ashamed of my lunch. I'm not going to show it. Or he could have been a little on the selfish side and said, there's a big multitude here, and ain't nobody got any food but me. Know this little boy freely gave his such as I have, as meager as it was, as small as it was, and as much as it looked at from human understanding that these 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes weren't going to really do any good in feeding this great multitude. And in the eyes of man, that's true. But I'll tell you, when that 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes was put in the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ, the God of heaven, it would be more than enough. And this little boy, such as I have, that he was willing to give to the hands of the Lord Jesus, fed this multitude. And it fed them so well that there were 12 basketfuls left over for the disciples of the Lord. They got to take home with them. What's our such as I have? In our hands, it won't do much. But I'll tell you, in the hands of our Lord, our Savior, our Master, and our Redeemer, be more than enough. We go in Exodus. Chapter 17. It said, then came Amalek, this is verse 8. Then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I'll stand on top of the hill with the rod of God in mine hand. So Joshua did as Moses had said to him and fought with Amalek, and Moses and Aaron and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him. And he sat thereon, and Aaron and Hur stayed or lifted up his hands, the one on the one side and the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited or totally defeated Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. Here's a time where Moses, this whole battle, it's hinging on, can Moses keep his hands up? If you've ever tried to hold your hands out for a long period of time, it's harder than it sounds. And Moses is getting tired. And Moses is feeling weak. But he knows that the whole battle occurring that day hinges on, if his arms are up, Israel's winning. But if his arms go down, Amalek, the enemies of Israel, are winning. Moses is getting tired. But here come Aaron and Hur. They got some such as I have. They've got some strength to lift up Moses' arms. They've got some strength that when Moses is too tired, but the battle is still raging, they can lift up his arms and help the man of God do what he's called to do. They had some such as I have. And they lifted up the arms of Moses, and God gave Israel a great, great victory that day. You know, sometimes our arms get weak. Sometimes our arms get tired. We need a brother or sister in Christ. We need an Aaron or her to come and lift up our hands and help us through what we're going through. And our brethren and sisters have that such as I have, to be able to help one another. Find grace to help from our brother and sisters that ultimately comes from the Lord in time of need. We have, and I know time's running short. You go to the book of Ruth. And there's Ruth. They've had a lot of loss in their family. Ruth's lost her husband. She's lost her brother-in-law. She's lost her father-in-law. Their mother-in-law, Naomi's lost her husband and lost her two sons. They come back to Israel, and they've got no normal means of support. But Ruth's there for Naomi. Ruth's got some such as I have. She's got youth and she's got the strength to go and glean in the fields to help support Naomi. And she does what she can to support her mother-in-law. And her mother-in-law, Naomi's got some such as I have. She's got some knowledge of the Lord and of the Lord's truth and of the Lord's ways and of the Lord's customs. And she's giving Ruth knowledge at every turn. And knowledge is, and Ruth is listening. And we have those things that we can give to others. Sometimes it's youth and vitality. Sometimes it's knowledge the Lord's blessed us to have over time to our younger brothers and sisters in Christ. But Ruth and Naomi are there for each other. And there's the great man Boaz, who has some such as I have. And he's a mighty man of wealth, a strong picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's got a field that they're not only able to glean in, but they're blessed with the bounty of his field and the bundles of his harvest in. And Boaz was willing to give the such as he had unto them. We go to the book of Esther. And Esther's queen to the king of the land. The king's issued a decree that on a certain day all the Jews are to be executed, are to be killed, not knowing that his own wife is a Jew. A wicked man, Haman, has put up the king to that. And there comes a time where Esther needs to use some such as I have. She needs to go before the king and plead for her life and for the life of her people. The whole life of the Jewish nation is hanging in the balance. And Esther's afraid to go to the king, because if you're not summoned to the king and into the throne of the king, and he doesn't hold out the golden scepter to you, you're immediately executed. But Esther prays. And she gets her damsels to pray. And she said, I'm going to use some of my such as I have to go into the king. And even if it means my life, I'm going to do it. And Mordecai, her adopted father, tells her. He's given her good advice. Who knows, Esther, but what you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this. You know, the Lord can put us in different paths in our life. I think the Samaritan was put in that path at that moment to help that man, that the Lord, by a sweet and providential hand, was blessing him to help the man on that Jericho road. Sometimes the Lord in our life can lead and guide in such a way that who knows that something could happen in your life that you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this. And as we pray and as we seek the Lord, it can sometimes become obvious. So Esther goes into the king. She takes her such as I have to be able to go into the very throne room of the king, and she pleads for the life of her people. And her husband, the king, holds out the golden scepter. He receives her, and the life of all the Jewish nation was saved because Esther, by the blessing of God, was willing to take her such as I have and give it to them. The greatest example that's ever been, and there's many more examples in Scripture, is of our Lord, our Savior, our Master, and our Redeemer, who took of his such as I have, and he gave it unto us. You see, when the Lord Jesus came and suffered and bled and died upon the cross of Calvary, he didn't just give part of himself, he gave all of himself. He freely laid down his life totally and completely for you and for me. God the Father gave everything he had. There was nothing more precious to God the Father than his beloved Son. And Romans 8 tells us, if God spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him freely give us all things? And the Lord Jesus came and gave his such as I have unto us, and it's made all the difference in the world, in our lives. And because he gave everything for us and shed his precious blood for us on Calvary's tree, heaven and immortal glory will be our home. One of the things we have as such as I have is the truth of the finished work of the Lord Jesus on the cross. And I'll tell you, that's a truth that other little children of God need to hear. You see, if we think everything, as I used to think, that it was based on something I did at some level, that heaven and immortal glory would be my home. And I knew deep down within me, in me, as the Apostle Paul said in Romans 7, in me that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. That I understand when I would do good, evil still present with me. And I knew deep down in my soul that if it was based upon something that I had to do to get to heaven, that I'd bust hell wide open. And there's a great bondage in that. A little child of grace, you have a such as I have. You've got the sweet truth of the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary that is so precious to little children of God, that Jesus paid it all, that he finished the work. And our eternal salvation is not based upon our works, one iota, but it's based upon what he did. And I'll tell you, that's what helps us press a dying pillow when we breathe our last breath and are able to say with the young preacher that wrote this song, you'd think it was written by an old preacher, it was a young one, his last words, farewell, Bunny World. I'm going home. My Savior bids me come. Sweet angels beckon from on high. Know how sweet to die. He had a sweet hope that because of what Jesus did, he'd wake up in heaven in immortal glory, basking in the glory of Jesus Christ. What a blessing it is. God bless you.